This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
Notice that song on there, it said, being closer to you. Actually, you're very close to him right here. But, you know, we want to take a look at what God sees, you know, see things from his perspective today. See as from his vantage point. And how God views things today. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. In spite of what's going on, because we know that there's a lot of stress out there, and we can keep our stress from becoming distress. I think that's a good idea. All right? Amen. So, anyhow, God is, well, in fact, one place in the Bible, it says that he will cause you to ride upon the high places of life. God will cause you to ride upon the high places of life. He is the Lord. And the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He knows the beginning from the end. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Amen. He is the Most High God. You can't get any higher, right? Amen. He's the Lord Adjutant General of the church, the chief shepherd of the sheep. He is the resurrected Christ. He is the Redeemer, the Anointed One, and he is still in charge of the universe. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. And so we can come up a little higher and see things from God's perspective, from his vantage point. This corona, do you know this corona thing in the country and the chaos in our cities did not take God by surprise at all? Did you know that? Not at all. And if we look over there, as I told you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Well, it says that we're living in, verse 1, perilous times. The Amplified says, times of great distress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. And so, certainly that depicts what we're living in now. We see people burning flags and people burning Bibles. And so, you know, this generation doesn't believe in anything. Many of them don't. And so, thank God, we're going to do something to change that. I said, we're going to do something to change that, right? Amen. Amen. By the way, show that little picture back there of the battery with the nose thing there. Do you have that on there? I think if you can show that. Well, anyhow, it's kind of a joke thing, but there it is. Yeah, that's how to start a millennial. Yeah, okay. By the way, anyhow, we love the millennials, don't we? But no matter what is going on, we must not allow what we see to affect our hearts. I mean, God's heart is not affected by this. Amen. And we need to walk in love no matter what and always take the high road. You know, we've got a choice to follow the flesh or to follow the Spirit. We can follow the low road or we can take the high road. And so in every instance, God wants us to walk in love and he wants us to take the high road and not follow the flesh. And not take offenses and not be holding on to bitterness and to unforgiveness or anything of that nature. Don't let anger get into your heart, right? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 to guard your heart with all diligence. Amen? Don't respond in the flesh. And certainly speak out about the travesties of injustice and so forth and what's wrong and so forth. But do not allow it to affect your heart, no matter what's going on. And rather see this as an opportunity to bring a harvest, to enlarge our tent and to advance the kingdom and bring people in. The fields are white, all ready to harvest. Do you believe that today? And so stay receptive to the hungry hearts. Look for people that are hurting and need a touch from God. And the ones that are searching. And give them a reason for the hope that is in you. You've got a testimony, so you can share your testimony about how God has forgiven you. He's washed you clean, given you a brand new start. The precious blood of Jesus has done that, and now you're a new creation in Christ with a new image, a new mentality, a new identity, praise God, and a new purpose in life. Do you believe that? Amen. Show them all of these things and how you found peace in your heart, this peace that passes all understanding. Seize the opportunity. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, seize the opportunity. Because how many know they will come? People are in confusion, and you can bring clarity to the situation. Psalm 119, verse 130 says that this word gives understanding to the simple. I used to think that meant simple-minded. Oh, that's for me. No. But simple means to those who are open-minded. Amen. If you're open-minded, you'll receive the word of God and get understanding, you know, and you'll no longer think, well, God took Uncle Charlie. No. Uncle Charlie drank a case of beer every day, and that's what took Uncle Charlie. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Amen. That's His word. Yeah. In other words, the Amplified Bible tells us that Jesus came to give us life in abundance to the full until it overflows. And Psalm 84:11 says, no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Hallelujah. We've got a God that wants to supply our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so stay steady. Amen. And just pray, God, send me the hungry hearts. I'm ready. But we also need to show people their value. We're talking about seeing things from God's perspective. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, I see people on the streets and I think, my goodness, that you can tell they're in a plight. But yet God loves them, each and every one of them. And so now, instead of being critical in my thinking about them, I say, God, help that person. Touch that person, Lord. Transform their lives. Show them Your glory, Father. Show them that You're alive and real. And see, these are important times where we need to let people know their value, particularly our children. You know, we got to pass this message on to our children. If we're going to, from generation to generation, I think Psalm 78 says that we're to pass it on. And so we need to get this message of the gospel in our children's hearts. And they need to know their value, because a lot of the things, the crazy things and the folly that young people get engaged in is simply because they do not know their value. We need to help them to learn their values so they won't go off and do crazy things. Amen? And so, and to be obedient to parents too. Teach them that. To walk in obedience to God's word and obedience to parents. But God is a God of faith. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, have faith in God. One translation says, have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. God is a God of faith. He responds to our faith. Wherever He sees faith, He's going to dispatch angels on your behalf. And so we need to choose faith over fear. You know, my wife and I went into a very elaborate convenience store here this past week, and it was actually run by the Mennonites. And very nice people, and they had a sign on the door before you went in the door. It said, wear your mask or not. We respect your choice as an individual. And then they had a sign out on an electronic sign out front that said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Praise God. Well, we can still observe some safety and wisdom, but let's not get into fear. Amen? God is a God of faith, not fear. And so He's speaking to His people now, and His perspective is that this is going to be a year of harvest, a year of miracles, a year of favor. Amen. According to Pastor David Crank, he was mentioning that. He has a church in Florida. He believed this is going to be a year of favor in spite of what's been going on. See, on the Jewish calendar, this is the year 5780, 5780, and that means voice. If you look it up, it means voice. That's God's voice speaking to His people, saying to us, listen up. See things from my spiritual view, from my perspective. You see, God is busy going about helping us. The Bible says, what is it, 2 Chronicles 16:9? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth Why? To show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are sincere before him. God is looking for ways to bless his people and work on their behalf, even though they're not aware of it, behind the scenes. That's right. Last Sunday, there was a lady here that had some difficulty with her hand. Her hand was all crimped up like this. And a couple of you guys went and prayed for her, and her hand opened up. And she was able to move her hand freely. And so I'm telling you, God is a God of miracles. He's still doing miracles and healings today. And we need to expect that. Praise God. Don't let the devil get the upper hand. Amen. Trust in God. Amen. Hallelujah. So God wants us to have his perspective on things and to expect some good things out of this corona mess. Dear, do you have your Amplified Bible? May I borrow it? I'm going to read from Psalm 145. Turn there with me, would you please? Psalm 145. Glory to God. Well, do you have the joy of the Lord today? Amen. One person does anyhow. How many have the joy of the Lord today? Amen. Amen. There we go. Psalm 145, the Bible tells us, and I, by the way, I like noisy people.
Amen.
Yeah, just go ahead and be noisy when I'm preaching. Say, preach it, Pastor. Come on. Amen. Tell it like it is. Psalm 145 and verse 15, the Bible says, the eyes of all wait upon you, looking, watching, and expecting. And you give them their food in due season. Notice, the eyes of all wait upon God. They're looking. They're watching. They're expecting. They come to him with an anticipation, expecting something good to happen when you go to that mailbox.
Amen,
or when you go to the workplace, you're expecting something good to happen. Or just when you come to church,
Amen.
You're expecting something good to happen. Because he's real. He's alive. He's the resurrected Christ. And so we want to come expecting. We've heard this said before, that the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. And so God sees things that we don't see. We just need to hook up with his thoughts and his ways that are higher than our thoughts, higher than our ways, and begin to expect him to move. When we come to church, we need to come with an expectation. What is God going to do today? Oh my, who's he going to set free today? Who's he going to transform? Maybe he's going to provide some finances for somebody or heal someone's body. Glory to God. He's capable of doing that, you know.
Amen.
And we need to wake up every morning expecting something good to happen that particular day. Amen?
Amen.
Decide to believe the report of the Lord. It talks about that in Isaiah 53:1, the report of the Lord. You can believe the CNN's report or MSNBC's report, or you can believe God's report. Amen. You know, here a couple weeks ago, we studied out of 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16. And we studied about Jonathan and David. And David was running from Jonathan's father, Saul. Saul was trying to hunt him down and kill him. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And so David hooked up with Jonathan, and they were good buddies. This is Saul's very own son. And Jonathan told David, he says, David, don't worry about a thing.
Amen.
He says, stay in faith. In verse 16, in the NLT version, it says, stay in faith. Everybody say that with me. Stay in faith. And it's important for us at these distressing times to stay in faith. Even during a pandemic, oh yeah, stay in faith. Even during chaos, yep. You see, all of these things that are happening have served to undermine our faith. Sometimes we don't even realize it, but it's undermined our faith and for God to do something, see? And when it's undermined our faith, then it leaves a vacuum, and guess what comes rushing in? Fear. Fear fills that vacuum, but praise God, he's given us the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And he enables us to be overcomers, praise God.
Amen.
This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So this whole pandemic, do you know, could turn suddenly.
Amen.
Only God can manufacture a miracle like that. It's like we had you know, these couple of different plumbers working out there to find that water line. And then all of a sudden, I got a call from Dick Oleastro saying, "Hey, we found the water line. Glory to God." I mean, they were out there with divining rods and everything, and finally, and they had a tough time finding it. But anyhow, thank God, because we got into prayer. We got into sanctuary here, and we got to praying, and we broke the power of the enemy that would hold that back, and praise God, if we had the breakthrough. And now we got a couple of shutoffs out there anyhow. But you know, here just a week or so ago, I had this right ankle that was really bothering me. I couldn't even move it around, couldn't even step on it or anything. It was really hurting me. And so I prayed and, you know, woke up the next morning, and it was totally healed, totally pain-free, and able to move it around again. But you see, God can do something suddenly, overnight, even though things may have been bad even for a long time. He can completely change things in a day. You think of that story back in 2 Kings chapter 6, whenever Ben-Hadad began to lay siege to Samaria. Do you remember that? You can check it out. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7, laid siege to Samaria. And I mean, the people were in famine. They had no food. And my goodness, the economy was such that they were paying a huge price for just a morsel of bread. Well, Elisha prophesied that this time tomorrow, 24 hours from now, things are going to be turned around, and there's going to be food and so forth and so on. And some people mocked him. They said, "It's not going to happen." Well, he said, "Those who have mocked me will not see the fruit of it." So be sure not to mock God, all right? But so what happened? The next day, everything got turned around. God confounded the enemy, defeated them, and they went out there and took all the spoils of war and had plenty to eat. And his word came to pass that in 24 hours, things totally did change. God is a God of suddenlies, and he can do things unexpectedly, but yet we need to expect them, right? Amen. We must never give up. We must stay in faith. God, that's God's perspective, isn't it? Don't give up. Don't ever give up. The word was true last year. It's true this year. And it's true today. And we need to make a determination to refuse to be moved by current events, feelings, circumstances, situations, or anything else. Right? Dr. Summerall, they asked him one time, "Dr. Summerall, what is your key to success? What caused you to succeed in life?" And he says, "I never quit." He says, "I didn't quit." And that's what it led him to be a world-renowned preacher. Channel 46 out there in South Bend, Indiana. You can check it out yourself. But a lot of people have found that perseverance and not quitting brings the results. Yeah, how many ever heard of Truett Cathy, who is the founder of Chick-fil-A? Yeah. Well, my wife and I got to hear him in person in Orlando. As a matter of fact, he walked right past us. But anyhow, here's this fellow that was, now he's passed away now, but when he first started out, he'd go get pop bottles and get the 2-cent deposit on the pop bottles just to make some money. And then he got into partnership with his brother, and they built this first restaurant with this special recipe for Chick-fil-A. And then they built a second restaurant, and then the second restaurant burned down. I mean, just burned completely to the ground. And so he says, "Well, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on going." And so he persevered, and then his brother, whom he was in partnership with, got killed in a plane crash. But Truett Cathy said, "I'm going on." He is a devoted Christian, by the way. Taught Sunday school. That's right. Clear till his death, taught Sunday school. And you know their standards, their moral standards that they've been criticized for. They're not for the LGBT community and their agenda, I should say. And so they've been highly criticized for it. But it's a multi-billion-dollar operation. And so I like to support people who are Christians, don't you? Amen. So anyhow, he persevered and made it and became a success. Do you have that little clip back there about that dog, Stella? Boy, I'm running out of time here, aren't I? Talk about persevering. Watch this. This dog just loves to run in and jump in leaves. I'll tell you, that's persistence. Just like a kid. I used to like to do that when I was a kid. Well, anyhow, praise the Lord. The Bible says, through faith and patience, you shall inherit the promise. So notice, this is over there in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 to 15. It says, I think in verse 12, through faith and patience, you shall inherit the promise. Notice, patience is very important too. Patience really gives activation to that faith, doesn't it? We need patience along with the faith to bring things to pass. They're called the power twins by many theologians. Faith and patience, the two of them working together, will bring it to pass. In fact, the word patience means endurance. Amen. Endurance. Everybody say endurance. So don't give up on whatever your dream is, whatever you're believing God for, because through faith and patience, you shall inherit the promise. Well, I was going to give you a little analogy about flying and instrument flying and following the Word of God and air traffic control, but I don't have time. Sorry, but come out Wednesday night, maybe we'll give that to you, okay? Let's all stand today, please. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Word. And Lord, we want to think like you think. We want to see things from your perspective, Father. We want to have the same vantage point. See things, I should say, from your vantage point, Father. And that means through the Word of God. And so, Father, right now, we praise you and we thank you for the enlightenment from your Word. And, Father, we are believing right now for a turnaround in this nation. We are expecting some suddenlies, Father.
Amen.
I can take this with me. Yeah, okay. And so, Father, thank you today. If there's one person today, Father, that still does not know you as Savior, Father, we ask that you touch their heart right now. And just say it with me. Say, Jesus be Lord of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for a brand new start. A new vision. New hope. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.